Maybe we'll have a just send a list around to start getting the names of who's here. Do you have a piece of paper? Maybe you could just. Anybody have?
Oh,
I think Robbie's is not here, right?
In transit.
What?
Yeah, do you mind?
I don't
know. Could I?
What? Oh, okay. You nominating? I'd like to know.
The Kabbalah on behalf of the...
Okay, so we'll have a shorter show today. Maybe we'll do more of the... But we'll start at least this video. So I think when we ended off last time, I mentioned that we're going to continue with the topic of... we did pretty much... Not completely, but I want to get to... since I want to move on. We did pretty much... the din of Rishus Minasi Reish Galusa, as I recall. We had a couple of shiurim on that. Yeah. We should do more? Okay, we'll see. So, and I would love to do more. I just want to make sure. So we'll start. You know what? I'll make a few more comments about Nasi and Reish Galusa also. But we really didn't do Talmud El Yora, Elam Kane, Natal Rishus Mirabo, and Bifnei Rabo. So I think I did give Yonatan. Did I give Marma Columns for that? Mm-hmm. So let me just make sure I give the. What do you have for that? That was what I think. What I told you to prepare.
I'm an Aleph Hamim Beis Yad Ramah Ran another Ran Rabbeinu David Tazza Rush Rabbeinu Yonah Rush Muki Yosef.
Oh, you're too fast.
Okay.
Okay, Rush Muki Yosef. Correct. Okay, that's all in Sanhedrin.
All Atar stuff.
Okay.
Gemara in Erevin.
Samu Beis on Beis Samach Gimel Ben Aleph.
Yeah, a Gemara in Ksubas.
Wait a second, before that, Tosis in...
Tosis over there.
Rajba, the Ritva?
Yep.
Shubas Rajba, Aleph Kufi and Aleph?
Yeah.
Okay, and the Ardea stuff, Reish Mem Beis?
Yep.
And the Ran and Erevin? Yeah? And the Grizz, Perkei, plus Talmud Torah?
Yeah.
Rush? Okay, so I think I gave, I don't know if it's exactly the same list. And the, then Ksuvah Sabach Amid Beis, right? Amar Abai Haimilsa, the Arm, the... Hi, Milsa to Amar Abana and Afilu Biata Bekutcha. Right, Tosas and Tosas Rid there. Probably do a few more things. And then the Rambam, of course, in the Chastamba Torah. And I gave you, right, with Agos Maimunios and the Orchas Chaim, Chastamba Torah, Simon Chafalef, regarding and Perakhat, the Sanhedrin, Sefer Mitzvos, Chuvas Arivash, very important about modern Smicha, right?
Where is that Chuvas Arivash?
Reish Ayin Aleph. It's a tshuva that we've already touched on, actually.
Yeah,
if you recall, when we did Shlichus Ayu, those were two tshuvas Rivashas that we did. One of them is this one. And then tshuvas Harama, the end of Simon Chavdaud, which we've mentioned, and contrasted what he was chozer on that, apparently, in Reish Mem Beis Sif Yodalid, and the Shach Sif Katan Chabbeis, tshuvas Mabit, Reish Pei, we've seen already, and the Marik Reish Samach Tes Beis. Okay, good. And this Mach and Samoch, again, Marik, Shorish, Kufyad Zion. Okay, I gave you pretty much. And the Tosis and Sanhedrin, Heyom and Aleph, and Yoredei Rishman Beis, Hey and Vav. Good. Rabban Ala Torah. Good. Okay. So there are a few things I'm going to add, but let's just start with that.
There was a Shelis Ayavitz, we didn't know where that was.
Oh, you don't have the number.
Do we have the...
I didn't write it down on this one either, but I'll get it for you for Thursday. Okay. So probably I'll add a few things Thursday. I don't want to spend too much time because I really want to... get through. The plan is going to be, again, we'll have to spend a few days on this because this is an important facet. Again, we spent a lot of time on classical smicha, even though there's more to do. We spent a couple of days on the middle category, which is the Tilos Rishus Mirabo, I'm sorry, Mireish Galusa and Minasi, but we'll speak a little bit more about that in this context. And then, of course, this is Talmud Al Yorah, Elam Kein Rishus, Talmud Rishus Mirabo, which many in Ashkenaz think is the equivalent of modern. What modern smicha is today, and I just want to show the overlaps between the three, as we've already seen, but to see a few more of them, and especially the issue in Talmud Al Yorah. We'll go through the Gemara again today. Is the question of how much of it is kvod rabo, how much of it is really a license, in terms of either stature or practicing. Again, my view is going to be, I can already tell you now, based on things that we've said previously, it's not going to shock anybody, but I think what we've seen throughout is that while there are two perspectives here, and there are certainly nafkamina, in other words, whether kvod rabo is an important component here, one of the things I'm going to argue, and I think is consistent with things we've already seen, is that the component of Kvod Rabo is not a completely external issue either. And that, when it comes to matters of rabbinic authority, so the Kvod Rabo piece is not just a hilchos deos, not just like having etiquette and good manners, but, just like we talked about, I mentioned, to explain the idea that any yodea is sometimes worse than non-voting, right? So I mentioned also that, the Gemara Neirvin, that, we paskin like Beis Hillel mostly over Beis Shammai because their etiquette was greater, right? So the suggestion that I made was, and I totally believe in, is that it's not just a matter of etiquette. You do reward people for good etiquette. I mean, I'm not talking about the etiquette of Emily Post either. I think we Googled Emily last time, if I recall, okay, to establish that there really is such a person. Emily Post is like, the antithesis of T-Bone, so take it back away, in a way. But anyways, it's not just the question of, whether good manners and good breeding, and how one formulates things and your posture towards other people. Of course, that's very important to men. That's a topic in its own right, Nochos Deos. There's no question that that is true. You get reward for that. But you don't get reward that we paskin like you for that. If we paskin like you, it's got to be that the etiquette part, the midos part, spills over into substance. And that's really what we were trying to explain at Beis Hillel, that this greater sense of reverence allows you to take with greater gravity people's disagreements. And when you do that, then you're just a much more objective practitioner and decider as well, because if you're really bending over backwards to understand the other side and giving it its full weight, and then you're still rejecting it, that's what we're discussing in the context of any day. So when it comes to these issues in general, since we've been talking all year about smicha being connected to general leadership and hashras hashchina and the model of Moshe Rabbeinu and so on, so the it's not just the midos part of it; it's the how you relate to. As we discussed the whole time, what does smicha even contribute? If you're already a gamir, who cares? But the answer is we care tremendously because, having that experience of shimusho and feeling that sense of responsibility, being in that line of chachmei amesora, is something which ends up, tremendously impacting how you, how you relate to issues and how you. How you paskin, how much zehirus you put into it, and how much you're looking at, the ramifications, both aligning traditional norms of the past and also being roas anolad, and taking responsibility for the future. Something which we'll talk about in just a couple of minutes now, is kind of a mini share. Anyway, so the idea that, that the Beis Hillel Beis Shammai etiquette thing has a parallel in a way in Kvod Rabo, and that's how you relate to how quick you are to pick up the mantle of leadership as a matter of ego, or really do see yourself in a line of tradition, especially when that is substantive and not just etiquette oriented. So, how much are you makabel from your abeim or from the previous misora? And again, there can always be exceptions to every rule, obviously, and there are here too. Both times where Eis Lasas Hashem Eferet Torah Secha, or Komokom Sheish Chil Hashem in Cholkin Kavod L'Rav. I mean, you have to balance, good etiquette, even good etiquette that reflects a very much of an embrace of the whole concept of Mesorah and that system. You have to obviously balance that with the search for truth, and conviction. That's partly the story of Zakin Mamre, except he doesn't know, when to stop. And my suggestion about Zakin Mamre has been, that he's not this tragic figure, who we admire but never have to put to death, but that, when it reaches the point, where he should already be acquiescing and isn't, then substantively, Goyim Milsalam Afreya, or at least Mikan Olaba, that he's a Rasha, and that his conscientious objection is self-aggrandizement, because there are still ways for him to pursue the topic, without trampling like very important principles of the system. Similarly, what I'm trying to say is that you have to balance these things, but the notion that there's a Hilchos Talmud Torah and a Kavod Rabbo aspect to Talmud Al Yoreh, either Bimkom Rabbo or B'li Rishus Rabbo, well, it is, there is this Kavod element, especially for the Rambam, as we'll discuss, and that definitely has substantive impact on applying it. That doesn't detract from it also being a substantive element in actually letting loose this person, you know, in the community. And I think what we already saw in the Rambam and what we'll see again is that for the Rambam, this is, a lot of the pratim are rooted in Hilchos Talmud Torah, but still the notion of Yore Yore, which this covers, is part of Perek Daled Hilchos Sanhedrin, because the Rambam has that too. So that's one of the things that we're going to be looking at. Talmud Al Yoreh Bimkom Rabbo, Talmud Al Yoreh Elim Kein Kibel Rishus Mi Rabbo, and that's what these Marim Kombos are, and you know, we'll expand on them a little bit more. Also, I want to, in this context, speak up a little bit more about a topic that we discussed already, Roy Lahoris B'chol HaTorah Kula. You know, what are the parameters of that? Again, it comes up here on Hayom and Beis, you know, when we talk about Rav and why he didn't get Heter B'chora and the Havaminas that the Gemara speaks about. It came up already in the Ksos and Simin Zion, I think, Sif Katan Aleph, but we should look at Sif Katan Aleph and Sif Katan Beis when he talked about Geirus. We made reference to it in terms of, you know, there being two very distinct applications in the Rambam based on the Yerushalmi. One seems to be in terms of competence and knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula, which is the one I'm most interested in. And of course, the other one is a more pragmatic one, in somebody who just doesn't have the, for more technical reasons, cannot be Mora B'chol HaTorah Kula. This is, you know, Summa B'Achameinab, you know, things of that sort. So the question of, you know, where do you draw the line, you know, in, you know, let's say for some very purely technical reason, he can't be Mora B'chol HaTorah Kula, or... You know, what do we mean? What level of knowledge are we talking about in terms of like pure practical and pragmatic bikias, or just, you know, the bikias that informs, you know, so that you have a good instinct and know. I'm not talking about whether you can be posek in that miktsoa. I'm talking about whether, you know, you're enough of a royal lahoris b'chol HaTorah Kula in a particular miktsoa that you're not paskening in. You know, does it disqualify you, you know, from the miktsoos, you know, where you do know every detail? So I want to speak a little bit more about that. That's the Ksosis. Again, the Rambam in Perek Daled and Pirshei Mishnayos, and also the Minchas Chinuch in Taf Tzadi Aleph. I may add a couple of Makoros to that too, but that'll be just as part of our discussion of Talmud Al Yoreh itself. So this is the first topic, or topic and a half, that we're going to be doing, which is connected to things we have been doing. And then after that, I mean, for anybody who wants to look ahead, and I hope it doesn't take too long. There's really a lot of, you know, Sanhedrin is just, you know, packed. And I do want to hit the big topics. So the next topic will be, starting from this topic of Pshara, which starts from Hayamid Beis. We've touched on it a little bit. Again, obviously a very, very important and rich topic. So it's really Hayamid Beis through Zion Omid Aleph. But, you know, we'll start with Hayamid Beis till the two dots on the top of Zion Omid Aleph, but then we'll continue from there as well. Then a few other little things, and then some of the other things that come up here, you know, to do a number of first parak topics. We've done quite a bit of the, you know, Yud Gimel through Yud Ches topics. It's worth it if you haven't done it straight, you know, in terms of Bikias or whatever, just to fill in the gaps. But as I say, the plan will be, you know, once we get, you know, past, you know, these parts, you know, once we do the, you know, Sugas on Daf Yud, Ploni Arvani and Batla Miktsasa Batla Kula and, you know, Palginan and so on, that we'll skip to Perek Zeborer. And again, that's a tremendously also exciting Perek, so I'd love to get in as much as we can. So probably going to move a little more quickly. I always say that. It doesn't always happen. Each time I think it'll happen. But, you know, we can always be optimistic. I'll try to make it happen. Again, the reason it doesn't happen, I think, is because the topics are so good. But we'll do our best, because there's really a lot of, you know, really, really exciting issues, and they're connected in very meaningful ways. Okay, so for today, I'm not sure how many people people already prepared or not? Not so, or yes so? A little. Okay, so let's... let me just speak a little bit more broadly and hashkafically also. I think the last topic that we did really well was Eniodeia in Dini Mamadis and Dini Nefashos. In the context of that, then we talked about, Rishus Minasi and Rishus Mareish Galusa, and you know, began to discuss Talmud al-Yoreh. So just going back to that for a moment, because I think it's connected here, and there are many other Gemaras and Shas connected to it as well, but I just wanted to bring one or two in Eruvin and the Gemaras here. When we talked about the concept of Eniodeia, and whether it's Ki'isa or Kilesa, right? And whether we distinguish between Dini Mominus and Dini Nefashos, according to the Rambam, within Mominus and Nefashos, for the Rambam and for others, the possibility of distinguishing between Maso Matan and Gemar Din, right? And possibly that is one of the major distinctions between Mominus and Nefashos, the emphasis on the Maso Matan as opposed to the emphasis on the Gemar Din, or at least to what extent, you know, we see one as theoretical or connected to the details of the Psak Din itself. So one of the things that we were discussing then was the notion of the dialectic, if you will, between being decisive on the one hand, especially the job of a dayan. We talked about Eniodeia in other areas of halacha too, and how you might be mechalek, even though the issues are parallel, right? On the one hand, the dayan's job, especially in the fashos, but in general, is to come to a conclusion, la suke shmaitza libe de hilchasa, you might say, etc. But at the same time, things that contribute to la suke shmaitza libe de hilchasa are a good analysis. And a good analysis, as we just discussed about Beis Hillel, is something that requires, examining, not just a single, perspective, but weighing, options and weighing alternatives. So in a sense, Eniodeia is a failure from a Gemar Din point of view, but as we discussed, it may actually, be a contribution on a Maso Matan point of view, which leads to a Gemar Din. But there are basically two types of Eniodeias, as we discussed. One is what I call the soft Eniodeia, which is where the guy basically has no opinion, or he's totally paralyzed, or he doesn't know where to begin, or... he doesn't really, or his, reticence or his sveikos, don't really contribute much to himself or and certainly not to others, as opposed to, a great, devil's advocate, rhetorician, who can really see clearly both sides and who can articulate both sides, call it a hard Eniodeia, who is somebody who really makes an important contribution. He might let us down if he can't finally conclude. That's a chisaron in terms of his being a dayan, but it doesn't mean it's a chisaron as a Talmud Chacham, and it doesn't mean he doesn't make a contribution. And these were some of the distinctions that we made, and then we, pursued this, in terms of its details in the halacha. Parallel to that, one could say that in something we discussed last year, that in Masechas Avos, right, Hevu Mesunim Bedin, one of the initial charges, Anshei Knesset HaGdola, I contrasted it then to V'shinanta Levanecha, Shehei Divrei Torah Bechudadim Bepicha Shem Yishalchal Tegamge Betomar. On the surface, saying Hevu Mesunim Bedin, and telling you that if you can't give a shotgun, immediate rapid response seems like a contradiction. But once again, I think the point is, Hevu Mesunim Bedin, that you want to be very careful, understand that Psak Din is a responsibility, understand that, you have to, the responsibility per se that other people are relying on you for the proper Psak is grave indeed and should cause you pause. And careful, of reflection, and as some of the Mefarshim explained, not just relying on what you remember or even previous cases, but making sure, that the details of this case, dovetail sufficiently or where it's important. In other words, reassessing. Also looking, as I say, to align the past and to you know, secure the future. These are all parts of the responsibility of having Mesunim Bedin. But at the same time, it shouldn't be, you know, paralyzing. And it shouldn't be, you know, because of lack of conviction, you know, both in terms of the ability to produce a psak, right? We have to have the confidence that, you know, Mishpadach Yolachem, but more importantly even, Torah Hashem Temima. And moreover, it shouldn't be out of a lack of hard work and acuity. You know, that's where Vishinanta Levanecha, Shehei Divrei Torah Mechudot and Bepicha, you know, comes into play. Meaning you should, you know, really be attuned and, you know, have strong opinions and know where to look. Your metunim, you know, should be a result not of scrambling about, you know, blindly, you know, and ignorantly. It should be a result of, it should be a result of strength, really, of, you know, of having, you know, shlita, control, mechudadim, mishunanim, etc. Both of these elements are very important. So in a way, an interesting parallel to all this comes up in the Gemara's, in Eruvin. And I think that they're also reflected back here, both in on the Sugya and Hayom and Beis, you know, Rab Bar Chanan and Rab, which we talked about a little bit in terms of, you know, being mukshar for Heter Bechoros. And at the same time, again, the very Gzeira itself of Talmud Al Yora, you know, Mei Beitzim, Mei Bitzayim, you know, etc. It too, both of these cases here and the Gemara's and Eruvin really also are ways of balancing these two opposite considerations. In other words, on the one hand, responsibility in psak, which is not to be taken lightly, but at the same time, you know, really having the, you know, the pursuit of truth, the pursuit of responsibility, and the pursuit of a richer truth, or a rich truth, or a multifaceted truth initially. So it's very interesting that the Gemara in Eruvin, Daf Yud Gimel, interesting, right where the whole Daf Yud Gimel in Eruvin is very chock full of issues of Talmud Torah, and then of course at Yud Gimel and Beis is where you have Beis Hillel Beis Shammai and Elavei L'Divrei Elokim Chayim. So there are two interesting things in this Gemara. One is in the Yud Gimel and now the Gemara is discussing, you know, Eruvin issues. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva Hainatanakam, the Gemara, okay, Rav Achli Vitem Rav Chia Vlo Masaimi, there was some sort of ambiguity about one of the statements of one of the poskim. So the Gemara says that there was Tanya Amar Rabbi Kiva Lo Amar Rabbi Shmuel Davar Zeh Lo Osa Talmud Amar Davar Zeh Halacha Kosa Talmud. The Gemara goes back and forth, and the Gemara tells a story. Number one, of Rabbi Kiva, who said something only lechade desatambidim, which gets all the achronim. You know, we have this in numerous places in Shas. You know, is it possible that somebody would say something which is not halacha, you know, halachically authentic, lechidude desatambidim, right? Again, they all scramble and they all say he didn't leave him with the final impression that this was the halacha, but he kind of put him through the ringer a little bit because he wanted to develop, you know, proper halachic thinking that he felt in a deeper way, you know, was important as an investment in his understanding, you know, of the halacha. And then the Gemara says, Itmar Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, kol makom shatamotzim mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Talmud Echad, lefnei Rabbi Akiva, einu elo Rabbi Meir. Which is fascinating. We'll see why in a moment. Sheshimes yes Rabbi Shmuel ves Rabbi Akiva. The Tanya Am Rabbi Meir kishayisi etz Rabbi Shmuel ayisi matul kankantum letochadyo v'lamer lidavar kishabasi etz Rabbi Akiva asra lai. Then the Gemara says Eini Ham Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel mishum Rabbi Meir kishayisi lomed etz Rabbi Akiva ayisi matul kankantum letochadyo v'lamer lidavar kishabasi etz Rabbi Shmuel omer lebni ma malachtecha. Amarti the lavlarani a sofer amalei bni hevizayir b'malachtecha shemalachtecha malecha shemayim bi shema tam bechaser osachas amyater osachas nimtis machrim es kol haolam kulo. Martilo, davar echad yeshli the kankantum shmo shani matil tochadio, omer levichi matil kankantum tochadio, and so on and so forth. So anyways, the Gemara, very fascinating discussion. So then the Gemara says that shimush ashimush kasha, but it seems like this Talmud, was he a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, or was he a Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel? Right? So the Gemara says, Bishlom Shimush ashimush kasha, mi kara asa lekamid Rabbi Akiva, umidlo motzi lemekem alibay, asa lekamid Rabbi Shmuel. The Gomar Gomra. The Hadar Asa Lakamid Rabbi Akiva, the Savar Savra. So this is a very interesting guy. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, but he felt he didn't really understand Rabbi Akiva. Either Rabbi Akiva's derech or his level, you know, was too elusive for him. So instead he opted to take some time to be a Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel. Again, Rashi explains about Rabbi Akiva, Shayacharif Lipalpel. So he just couldn't, he wasn't ready for it, or he couldn't catch that part of it. So then he went to Rabbi Shmuel, and in Rabbi Shmuel, he was Gomar Gomar, he got the Mesoros, he got the details and the facts, but then, Hadar Asa Lekamed Rabbi Kiva Vesavar Svara. Once he felt he wasn't going to, so again, it's a balance between. He didn't want to be misled by being a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, even though clearly being a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, I guess, was more challenging and ultimately more rewarding. So he needed to go through a process of achieving this balance of, you know, authentic, truth. Authentic truth, probably a redundancy, but authenticity on the one hand. But at the same time, he wanted to very much to invest in that next level, you know, of attunement and methodology, and savar, svar. But what's particularly fascinating here is that the Gemara says this, there's some discussion in the Achronim, about Rabbi Meir, that this is Rabbi Meir. So the same Gemara in Eruvin says on the next page, on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara has something very similar, but here, the Rebbe is Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says, Om Rabacha Bar Chanina Galui V'yadu Lefnei Mishamar V'yaha Olam. Which is an interesting statement, anyway. She'ein bedoro shel Rabbi Meir kimoso, umtema lo kavo halacha kimoso, shelo yachlu chaverav lamod al sov daito. That Rabbi Meir was the biggest Talmud Chacham of his time, but people weren't kove halacha kimoso because they weren't confident that they really apprehended, you know, fully what he was saying. In other words, he was the greatest, but in terms of the truth, you know, and responsibility, there was a serious problem relying on him. Shehu Omer al tame tahar umar lapanim, al tahar tame umar lapanim. Again, he had the capacity to argue both sides of a problem, and to do it equally effectively. Again, Tosis here asks the question: Tema macharifus ulataris asheret shatorah timaso behedja. You know, what is this in intellectual gymnastics? The same Tosis appears on Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph, in Sanhedrin. We discussed this already, where the Gemara says that one of the conditions, right, of being a member of Sanhedrin, on the bottom line here, where is it? Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph, right? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Ein Moshiv in Sanhedrin, L'mishadei L'taris Hasheretz Min HaTorah. So again, Tosis quotes here, it's the same discussion. Kosher Benu Tam, Ma Lonu B'charir, here it's a more charif, rejection of Harifus. Kasher Rebbeinu Tam, Ma Lonu B'Harifus Shel Hevel, L'Tayr Sheretz Shatorah Timaso. And Rebbeinu Tam goes on to explain that in his opinion that there was a toelis here, because he didn't mean Lahalacha, of course, to mislead them, but he was trying to show that in the hierarchy, this is a very good proof for my perspective on Divrei Sofrim, you know, Vameivin Yavin, from last year's discussions, that, you know, in the ability, you know, to be Matiris, a Sheretz, even though the Sheretz is Tamei, you know, says something, echoes in the nature of Tumas Sheretz under certain conditions. That's Rabbeinu Tam's approach. The Ramah in the Tshuva, I think it's Kuf Yud Zayin, or Kuf Zayin, has a different perspective where he best speaks about, you know, the capacity of creativity and the capacity to see both sides of the problem. But in a way, Renatam acknowledges that too. Renatam is just very sensitive in both of these cases that you not think that this is a game, this is some sort of intellectual gymnastics, you know, at the expense of truth. Chas v'shalom, everybody agrees with that. But, you know, the gymnastics serve a very important halachic, more nuanced, more subtle, but more halachic, but still a halachic function. And others are less bothered by the whole thing, just like, you know, Rabbi Akiva's lechidudei, because they see, yeah, of course, you know, you're not going to paskin this way, but the ability to do this is going to come in handy more generally, even if it doesn't come in handy in this particular case. You have to know, of course, you know, when not to abuse it. Anyways, the Gemara says, Lama nikra shemo Rabbi Meir, shehu Meir eine chachamim b'halacha. Right? So that's really strange, because the Gemara said that he was a God al-Adar, but no one could figure out exactly what he meant, and therefore they didn't paskin like him. And then the second later, they're saying that his real name was Nehorai, but they called him Rab Meir because he was Meir Eine Chachamim, right, Bahalacha. So which is it? So the Marsha basically says, obviously he's bothered by this problem, and he says very well. He says, you know, there were two different issues here. One is, can you paskin, can you be his Talmud alone, you know, only Rab Meir's Talmud without anything else, and can you rely on him, you know, Lahalacha? So he says, "V'gam shelo yachaver v'omdim al sov daito, v'ein halacha kimoso mikamokam hayimegalehem ta'amim upanim lishnei atzadim ubezeh hayameir einehem b'halacha lachriya achakach b'shnei hapanim ezo emes la'amito." So this is a terrific marsha, but clearly that's exactly what the Gemara has in mind. He was meir einehem b'halacha, but you know they had to, you know, temper it so that they wouldn't be, you know, misled. But understanding all of that and investing in it is something which was important. So this is a critical idea. It's interesting. The Gemara then goes on to say, Omar Rebbe, Omar Rav, supposed to be, what is it, hey? One second. Or Rav, yeah. The Tosa Menacho says it should say, Amar Rav, hay de mechadedna mechavroi de chazise l'Rab Meir machore. V'ilu chazise mikamei ha mechadedna tvei de tziva hoyo einecha ros esmorecha. This is a famous Gemara that people quote. So he says, I was tremendously blessed being a Talmud Rab Meir, even though I only saw him, you know, from behind, you know, whatever that means. And if I had seen him even from the front, then it would be in Bechadedna Tvei, because V'hoyu Einecha Moros Esroecha. So again, Ros Esmorecha. So the Marsha says that means that some, you know, on a basic level, certainly it means Kritza Seinayim. Sometimes, you know, the person you're learning from, he smiles, he has a twinkle in his eye, he has a frown, right? That's the body language is important also. Because you're not just interested in the out of context statements or even in the in context statement. You know, there's so much you can learn also attitudinally from the level of excitement or the level of fear and hesitation or yira and so on. And this is also part of a Rebbe Talmud relationship, both separate from what it is that you're learning, and in some case, in terms of how you file away or how you assimilate or absorb the things that you are learning. Other mefarshim say other things here about a Rebbe's obligation to know who his talmidim are, and you know, to make sure that, you know, the shiur that he gives is not only for himself, but you know, primarily is something that can be understood by talmidim, not be misunderstood, and that even if it means sacrificing, you know, your own interests or challenges in learning, that's part of the Rebbe Talmud obligation, you know, to know who your students are and to tailor the material, to inspire them, to uplift them, obviously. And if in the process it's also, you know, mi Talmida Yoser mi Kulam, which it should be. But at the same time, you know, to be careful to to know who you're teaching. That's what some of the Mefarshim explain as well. Either way, I just think it's very fascinating that this is said about Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir, Shelo Yochlu Alamod Al Sov Daito, number one, he's Meir Enech Chachamim Bahalacha, and number two, the Mechadedna Mechabrai is even when you're a chazise machorei, truth is one could have interpreted, I don't know if anybody does, but this is part of it too. In other words, even if you can't paskin like Rabbi Meir, so in a way it's meachorei, but still, you know, being in his presence of a great man, seeing how, you know, how he thinks, you know, kind of picking up on his, you know, processes, that in itself is of inestimable value. But again, if you can get back to him and you can even ilu chazise mikane, then the payoff, of course, would be even greater. Okay, so this, of course, is very relevant also to two issues in our Gemara. Again, in a way, Rabbi Meir, of course, is a great example of not any Odeya, but of somebody who, you know, the Talmidim, after they were exposed to Rabbi Meir, might have said any Odeya, right? But the point is that he was Meir Eini Chachamim because it was a hard any Odeya, not a soft any Odeya. So in the Maso Matan, and ultimately what that impacts, what that contributes to the halakha, that's a crucial thing as well. But getting back to Sanhedrin, so are these two really interesting Gemaras on our daf. We could have somebody read Yonatan, if you don't mind, just very quickly. Right, Amar Lei, how's it go here? My Rishusa. Now, this, of course, is still referring to Rishus Miresh Galusa Menanasi. Okay, my Rishusa.
My Rishusa. If you have enough, it's Rabba Bar Chana Lebavel, Amar Lei Rebbe Chia Lerebi, Ben Atai, Yori Lebavel, Yori Yora, Yadin Yadin, Yadin Bukoros, Yadin.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have enough as Rav Lebavel, Amar Lei Rebbe Chia Lerebi, Ben Achosi, Yori Lebavel, Yore Yore, Yadin Yadin, Yadin Bechoros, Al Yadin.
Yeah. So the question is, why do they discriminate against poor Rav, right, and they withheld from him Yadin Bechoros? Again, we've already discussed the question whether, you know, Al Pidin, you know, both in Smicha and in Netzilas Rishus Mireish Galusa, right, and of course, by extension, also, what about Talmud Al Yora, LMK Natal Rishus Mirabo? Whether or not the default is a uniform allowance across the entire system, which makes sense both from a stature point of view, right, and from a from any argument that there's a substantive, you know, impact being royal chorus b'chol tarakula, right, in terms of attunement with the total system. Or whether or not, whatever you say about those issues, right, the allowance, the license part, is piecemeal and requires, you know, a separate appointment, you know, for each one. We discussed that already. I think we discussed it in terms of stiras in the Rambam, Pirush Mishnayos, two Pirush Mishnayos is Anyan HaChazaka, and of course we discussed it also, the parallel in terms of the Tosas and Tosa Rush, right, on Rishus Miresh Galusa, on Tosas on Hamad Beis, on the Tosa Rush. Okay, but the other question is, not so much could they have kept it from him, but, you know, should they have kept it from him, and, you know, why would they have kept it from him? That's what the Gemara is about to ask. Go ahead, not this question, but Maishna.
So Maishna Lamar, the Kakari Ben Atai, Maishna Lamar, the Kakari Ben Achosi.
Yeah. On the next Bechina, we're going to have like a fountain, the tree of the, you know, and everybody, we're going to hold everybody responsible for knowing the relationships. Yeah, go ahead. Unless you take the Bechina early. Go ahead. Yeah, meaning it was on one side.
Okay.
That's a nice answer. Yeah. Okay. By the way, Emer Lechachma, Kol Siyad is the pasuk that's also quoted for Vishnanta Levanecha, Shehid of Reitar Mechudan of Vipicha. Right? Emer Lechachma, Kol Siyad. Meaning, Emer Lechachma, Kol Siyad is seen as a pasuk that speaks of a kind of easy, you know, somebody, not easy to acquire, but somebody whose, you know, hard work has made him somebody who's like, who easily dispenses his wisdom, or who has a tremendously well-developed control of the knowledge, you know, that he has, at his command. Okay, so good. So then the Gemara says, "My time, huh?"
My time up.
Why didn't they?
Al yatir.
I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Yatir b'chorus al yatir. My time up. Ilei mamishem de lo chacham hatamri and the chacham tuva.
Yeah. So again, here, as we've already discussed, there are two ways to read the Gemara. Right. One is that the Gemara is saying that, you know, he doesn't need to be chachim, but he was, so it's just not correct. But, you know, in theory, that would have been a good answer, and that would be important because that would militate against saying that you need to be a roi lahoros b'chol Torah kula, either in general or at least in this phase, meaning the resh galusa and nasi part of smicha or of rishos. Right. The other way to read the Gemara, the second way to read the Gemara is, what are you talking about? He was and he had to be because otherwise he couldn't have even achieved this. Right? Okay. And again, as we noted, some of the Nosei Kelim on the Rambam suggest that this line is actually the makar for the Rambam's din of Roi Lahoros, even though that din is about smicha, not Tilos Rishos alone. And it, it's a pretty big leap. Again, probably Yerushalmi is the real makar, as the Rambam himself says, but okay. Keep going. Ella
mishum d'lo baki b'munim.
Yeah, so this, of course, is also similar to what we... Okay, go ahead, Ba'amar.
Ba'amar Rab, Shmona Asar Chadashim, Gadalti Hitzol Roa Be'hema Le'ida Ezen Mim Kavua Be'ezen Mamover.
Yeah, so this, also, again, the same two possibilities, basically. Right. Now, is it that Lemaisa, Rav put in his time, he spent those 18 months... First of all, that's just shocking, isn't it? He spent 18 months of his good time, on the guy's farm, learning Dinei Bechoros. Like, this, that's an incredible thing. Okay. Big Musar Haskel, obviously. And imagine that, if they didn't give him he spent all that time, they still didn't give him the authority.
Well, he didn't need that Bronstein first to approve it.
He what?
He didn't need that Bronstein curse to approve it.
To approve it in advance. I hear that. I mean, what was his attitude about all that? So again, the tremendous perseverance, Mesiras Nefesh, for even learning the practical side of something, which is, much more technical, but that, is going to impact on halacha, just 18 months. I mean, that's for Rav. Wow. Anyways, but again, there are two ways to read the Gemara. One is that, that would be a good answer, but Lemaisa it isn't so, right? The other answer is that, it isn't so, and it couldn't be so. Once again, is this a din of Roi Lahoros Chol Torah Kula? Because it's one thing to say that the chachma of knowing Dinei Bechoros, is part of that. But even the Lemaisa part? Right, that also is part of Roi Lahoros B'chol Torah Kula. Now, it's Bikius in Dinim is one thing. I would say there are three levels. There's the Yesodos, the principles, the Lumdus, the Yesodos. That's one area. That's one level. Then comes, the Dinim, that govern it. And then there's, the more Lemaisa part, Realia, as we sometimes call it. Is the realia part, never mind the Bikias part, even the realia part is part of Roi Lahoros B'chol Torah Kula? Or this part? No. Ad kadei kach, we wouldn't go. So that's a very, very interesting and important question. Okay. Ella.
Ella, lachuk lo kavod l'rabba v'racham.
So again, that is shocking too, right? In other words, he spent these 18 months, literally getting his hands dirty, right? Well, not necessarily, I guess. But, and You know, everybody agrees that he's totally competent, but from a policy point, they wanted to distinguish, they wanted to give an extra feather in Rabbi Bar Chana's cap for some reason, obviously very important, leadership reason. So they wanted to build up Rabbi Bar Chana. They withheld, you know, this capacity from Rav, who was completely Roy Lekach. That's an amazing thing. Okay. Ibai Seima. This is even more amazing. This is where it gets...
The Rav Baki Mume today, Vishari Mume de Lo Yade Enche, Vanriki Agavna Shah Rav, Asul Mishra Mum Oga.
Yeah. So this, of course, is very much in keeping with what I just spoke about in terms of Rabbi Meir, right? It's a good, you know, trivia answer, too. You know, can a person be, like, too clever or too competent? You know, people who think, I guess, out of the box, you know how they say it these days? People who are highly, ruggedly, you know, individualistic in their thinking, and they're, you know, highly original, etc. So in terms of, here you have, you know, a pursuit of authenticity and truth, but the problem is, you know, the short-term impact, you know, that it might be misleading to, you know, to others. So it's really kind of a fascinating question when you think about it. First of all, it's just an interesting thing, but it's more than that. Now, let's say Rabba Bar Chana, you know, and Rav are the two possible poskim who can paskin your Yater Bechoros, you know, difficulties. So you'd rather have Rabba Bar Chana than Rav. That it seems to acknowledge that Rav's psak is going to be different than Rabba Bar Chana. Yeah, the Gemara doesn't spell this out so much, but and it could be there's some Mefarshim who interpret it differently. But the Pashtus, it sounds like, you know, if you ask Rav, he's going to say one thing, and if you ask Rabba Bar Chana, he's going to say something else. So you'd really rather ask Rabba Bar Chana, get a psak, which it seems like you're saying is an inferior psak, because the impact of people misunderstanding the principles of the applications going forward is greater. So I think what you have to say is, you know, one of three things. Number one, it could be based on a kind of an elu ve'elu. I think it probably certainly is also based on an elu ve'elu idea, meaning, you know, the safety net of Rabba Bar Chana, he might give a different psak than Rav, but the more you think that within reason, you know, both of the psakim are acceptable, you know, it's the Rambam and the Ravid, or, you know, or Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Moshe Feinstein, you know, that's okay. But it's still a chiddush, because you're basically saying that Rav, you know, was even more competent in this area. But there's a good safety net. Number two, could be, and I think Rashi does emphasize this, that maybe Rav's maverick psakim, or, you know, out of the box of psakim, are kulas, not chumras. And therefore you're being machmir, according to Rabba Bar Bar Chana, which, again, you wouldn't do, you know, without a payoff in terms of, you know, the system aspects of it. But does Rashi say that or not, or am I making that up? One second. Which word is it saying? Yeah. Well, I mean, he's certainly talking about Deliyar Di Inchi Shehenu Nikar Rav Shehu Mum.
The Gemara assumption is that it's that he's going to not do things that people don't know are Mum.
Yeah. Shehenu Nikar Rav Shehu Mum. And he's Matir in Bechor.
Rav is generally
which is a Kula.
That people don't know him.
Yeah. So I think that's... Yeah. Correct. So I think that's the other. But let's say you had the same thing and the problem was, you know, in the other direction. So maybe you wouldn't say it. And the third thing, of course, is that really, you know, which is the most radical thing to say, and that is really you are sacrificing, you know, X amount of psakim in terms of the best psak, certainly, maybe even the right psak. But I said before about Eilu Ve'elu works with the best psak, you know, but you still have an acceptable backup, you know, position. But here, maybe you're really sacrificing the proper PSOC, you know, in X amount of cases. But you're doing that because from a utilitarian, you know, point of view, you know, disaster looms in a bigger system way if you don't do that. But either way, it's a very remarkable Gemara, and it's one which you know definitely you know we don't encounter it so much. But all these Gemaras are, I think, just amazingly inspiring in terms of, you know, what are the shikulim that go into Psak Halacha and how much, you know, responsibility and yira has to be part of this process. Again, at the same time, you know, it's a process that needs to go forward. It needs to be also practical, even if it's idealistic. This mix of idealism and pragmatism, you know, of search for truth and also, you know, care, you know, for the system. And, you know, there will always be gray areas and judgment calls, but is something which I think is what we're encountering here. Yeah.
Isn't it obvious that Rav Rotunda is going to be more Machner? You know, otherwise it would be the same problem that people would mistake.
You mean Rav Rotunda might also say the same thing, but he might, but for a less ingenious reason?
Well, meaning,
I'm just saying you don't know.
I'm saying, like, isn't it obvious that he's going to be more Machner than Rav?
No, that's what I was saying before. If that's the case, so what we're saying is we're going to drop the kulas of Rav because of this factor. That's not as big a chiddush as if we were dropping, you know, the authentic chumras of Rav. That's what we're saying before. I thought you were asking me a different question now, and that is, do we really know that Rav Abba Bar Chana is going to come up with a different psak? Maybe he'll just come up with a different and more conventional, albeit maybe not as totally authentic, educationally, intellectually, basis for it. I think I would say that's the fourth idea, right? Maybe Rabba and Rav's Pesachim are going to be the same, you know, but you'll lose out from a Talmud Torah point of view, maybe. But you don't really know in the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara doesn't say. But I'm just saying what the Gemara is basically saying is that Rav's competence, Rav's extra competence, was responsible for holding him back. From this area,
if they would have the same sock, wouldn't there be the same problem that people that the Talmidim or that the Amir Ratzin would
state? No, not would I mean the added thing I'm saying right now. Not necessarily if the explanation was, you know, something that was clearer and therefore not as confusable, which means clearer. In other words, if Rabba Bar Chana thinks in more conventional terms, if he has a, you know, kind of a, let's say he sees it in a certain way, and that is more comprehensible for people, and therefore they're not going to be in any way confused or misled. But Rav sees something else here. He may come to the same conclusion, you know, but in a more nuanced way that people, you know, in theory, you know, could become confused about and could lead in the future to incorrect stuff. Either way, there's something about sacrificing a more accurate, certainly, truth here for the sake of the system. There's no question that is the case. How much of that and how much of these four, let's say, scenarios or factors come into play, I think, you know, the fact that Rav Bar Chana is obviously very, very competent, you know, at a very high level, the fact that these cases seem to be mostly kulas that we're giving up on, and so on, definitely is part of the story, but I think the other two factors need to be weighed as well. Okay, let's continue. Yonatan, go ahead.
Hi, Yorav.
Let's just get the Gemara in for now, and then we'll do the you know the work next time.
So, right.
It sounds like the Gemara thinks that Yore doesn't require Rishus Meiresh Galusa or Minanasi. Okay? Per se. This goes back, let's just talk about this for a minute, to, you know, things that we talked about earlier in the year. Dine Mamanus Bishlosha, the difference between, even in Dine Mamanus, between Hodos Vahalvos and Xelos Vahavalos and Knossos, meaning the idea that, the kind of din, and therefore the kind of Dayan and the role that the Dayan plays in different Dine Torah is going to be different. And as you move, across the different levels, you know, the more you're being mechadesh in the area of halacha, right, the more the dayan himself is the, like, in knossos, as we discussed, right? And a little less so in chabalos, and a little less so in gzelos, and quite a bit less so, you know, in the, you know, hodos v'havos, certainly the ones based on personal commitment, but even the ones based on pure quid pro quo. So within dinim amidus itself, and that affects, as we know, you know, whether or not you need to be a samuch, whether you need to possibly, according to Machar ben Ravika, well, whether you need one, you need three, whether you need to be a samuch, the different shitas that we discuss, we don't need to, maybe we do need to review, I don't know how many people took the bechina. Either way, you know, things that hopefully have good memories for us all. So this same idea, you know, is one which leaves open the likelihood that there are areas of halacha, right, which require even less formal, you know, authorization, both in terms of numbers of people and also their level of qualification for judging. So the fact that in the world of Isur V'Heter, we're talking about hora'ah, right, and not din, and we know that anyways the standards in Isur V'Heter are more relaxed. For example, you don't need edus, right? You can get away with nemanus, right? So the idea that, you know, you might not require the same level of authority, you know, to be more, also makes sense. That doesn't necessarily mean, in fact, it doesn't mean, this is a common mistake, that Isur V'Heter is just mara makom hulo, and that there's no chalos psak. There are areas, and we'll talk about this more, the line between what is mar makom and what is hora can be a little ambiguous. It is. And that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. There are things that are clearly mar makom, things that are, you know, very accessible, where there's no suffix, there's no real ambiguity. You just need to know where to look, and it's decisive and it's clear. And there are things that require judgment, and where even if there is a past precedent in some cases, you know, agreeing to continue that past precedent when there are issues is something called a hora, a psak. There are probably different levels of that as well. Now, where you draw the line in all those things, as I say, is questionable. And I think there are two issues. One is a very objective old issue, like how much of a machlokas is there, how obvious is it, how accessible is it, and here we have other models, you know, to think about. Again, those of you here, we learned Shabbos a couple of years ago, you know, so we talked about, you know, horios issues, you know, both Zakin Mamre issues, and it comes up in Zakin Mamre, it comes up in Param Dover Shul Tzibur, you know, issues, you have to basically make a mistake. The Baltosif issues, it comes up also, and similar to Zakin Mamre. You have to make a mistake, or you have to be arguing as a Zakin Mamre on something which is arguable, right? If your mistake is too basic, then, you know, it's just a tos bialma. And there's no horios, and there's no Zakin, you need a, you know, you have to have a madrega, you know, of an issue. Similarly, issues come up in malpractice, you know, dayan questions, which we still want to do that suga at some point. Meaning, you know, to yishalmo or lo yishalmo. So there's a difference between, for example, toz bidvar mishnah and toz b'shikol adas, in terms of whether it's chozer. And what is a tos even b'shikol adas, right? Well, there's a certain tos b'shikol, tos b'dvar mishnah means like you, something basic that everybody has access to, called bar beirav, you know, can get, you know, his hands on that or should know that. Tos b'shikol adas is still something you're held liable for, but the din is not chos there, right? Because, you know, there are still methodologies and there are proper procedures. Just because there's, it's also an important Musar Haskell, right? Just because there are other views and there's somewhat even legitimate, And it's not a Toz B'Dvar Mishnah doesn't mean that you can paskin that way. Right? So these kind of questions, or these kind of shiurim, we had it, you know, a little bit when we talked about Kimli, right? Which is a way of talking about, you know, what's Eilav Eilav Divar Lekim Chaim as well. We talked about the Kuntras HaSveikos, right? The numbers, you know, or for Rofim in Pikuach Nefesh on Yom Kippur, you know, and for Halacha, when you want to say Kimli, Kedas, Yachid, and then invoke, you know, Motzi Mechver Levaraya, right? What is the quantitative, what minimum quantity do you need for a non-idiosyncratic position? You know, what quality backing do you need, you know, in terms of advocates? You can say, Rabbi, you know, from, I won't say the name because I was getting in trouble. I think I've told the story. You know, it always turns out to be somebody's, you know, grandfather. So, you know, another person like never look at you again, you know, in your life. Anyway, but no, that actually is right. I have a good sense of humor. But the you understand what I'm saying? There are shiurim, in other words, of levels of legitimate complexity, you know, or inexcusable ignorance, you know, in other dinim. We'll see that this comes up here in Talmud al Yoreb in just a minute as well, right? Feel biata bekutcha, right? What, you know, what is a pure? There are things that are pure maramakom. They're just very straightforward and obvious. And there are things that are complex, and they are horos, where you clearly need some sort of a background. Whether you need a smicha or not, it's still a question. But you certainly need a certain level of competence. It's not enough to be able to open up books and look at it. There's a hora, you know, involved in certain topics or in the application to certain issues. If you're going to rely, you know, on a hora, the idea of, you know, whether you can ask someone else, shikur, al yoreh. There are numerous things where there's a notion of hora. What the Gemara is saying here is, so that's one. The other thing I wanted to mention, there are certain objective criteria. In these objective criteria, another issue arises, and that is the impact of halacha as a system that evolves, you know, over millennia. Right? And Baruch Hashem, we've been doing this for a long time. And with the Hagdara of Toz, B'Shikul Adas, or Toz, B'Dvar Mishnah, or you know, any mistake of a Bar Beirav or of a Tzeduki, to use some of the Horios sugyas, right? You know, what would constitute Kimli? Does that change, you know, given the history of Psak? And, you know, what, you know, people talk about this, we've talked about this, in terms of, you know, Yud Gimli Kari Amuna. I mentioned the famous comment of the Chasam Sofer. That we talked about it. I talked about it in terms of Rav Hirsch last year when we talked about, you know, the Ramban, you know, in Parshas Lech Lecha, you know, in the critique of the Avos. So, you know, it works for theological and philosophical, you know, beliefs on one hand, and it also applies to halachic issues. In other words, where you have something which was, you know, the Gemara says, you know, Beis Hillel Beis Shammai ain't a Mishnah, right? At a certain point, if you always paskin like Beis Hillel, with very few exceptions, can you still say Eilu ve'Eilu, you know, or, you know, Tos B'Dvar, it's only a Tos B'Dvar, is that a Tos B'Dvar Mishnah or Tos B'Shikol Adas? You know, if everybody paskins like the Shulchan Aruch in a particular issue, you know, for the last 500 years, it depends on what, you know. You know, can you say, well, I paskin like Abiyud HaChas, right? Or, you know, the Tosis Rid. So the point is that there are some objective elements in all of this, and there's also the impact of the history of practice and decision making, both methodologically and in terms of, you know, individual psakim or individual poskim that come into play as well. In an era where there are books, published books. That's one of the reasons I want to look at that. Archos Chaim, you know, does published books impact on things like Talmud al Yora, you know, Elam Kenyan, not Tol Brishos? Do we have textual Rabbeim? That's one part of the question. The other part of the question is, what impact does access to books have on the Hagdaros of, you know, Mar Mokom, or Tos Bidvar Mishnah, or B'Shikol Hadas, you know, etc. Just not going to be able to go into so many detail, but just to get a better understanding of the issues and the sweep of the issues. Because I think these are all important questions. How did I get onto this? Oh, yeah. Because the Gemara says here something very fascinating, and the Gemara says, Igamir Rishusa Lamali Lemishko. So, the implication is, number one, that we're talking about a different level. They didn't ask this question about Yadin. They didn't even ask this question, interestingly, about Bechor. Right? So that is point number one. Issa Beheter is different. But on the other hand, the Gemara says Igamir. So is Igamir... Igamir means certain competence, as we know. Is that something that is a din in the Gavra also? And is it something that gets its own licensing? Right? Or at least that we, even if it's informal, we have to know what this person's qualifications are? Or is Igamir a way of saying, you know, he'll look up the right things? My suspicion is that what the Gemara is talking about here, not suspicion, my strong conviction is that the Yori Yora here, even though it doesn't necessarily require Rishus, is still obviously not, we'll see in a moment, not Mara Mokom alone, it's a real Horah, a real Psak, which does require, whether it's formal or informal, a certain stature of Mora Horah. Okay, then the Gemara says, go ahead, to Tanya.
Titania, Pam Achas Halach Rabbi Lamakom Echad, Rab Ne Adam Shemagavlin Nisosehem Betoma.
Yeah.
Amalhem, if Nema Tamagavlin Nisosehem Betoma, Amelo, Tamad Echad Balakan, Vahor Lanu, May Betsayim, and Machirin.
Yeah.
Who, and happened to me, who made Beats in Darshlo? But in Usavor, May Betsayim, Kamar, Betavu, Vitavanami Baha.
Right. May Krimyon.
May Krimyon, who may Piga, Psulin, Mibne Shehain, May Betsayim.
Yeah, and what's the issue there? Whether it's Mayim Chayim as opposed to May Tahar. One is an issue of Tuma Vatara, and the other is an issue of Paraduma, where there's an Indian of Mayim Chayim. Okay, so this is the story in the May Beitzim, May Betzayim story. Is that the guy basically, again, this is that's why I say it's relevant to our topic of the day in a way, because isn't that an incompetent person intellectually? When he said Mei Betzayim, right, he meant to say Mei Beitzim. Now, whether you'll be Yotzeif with him, you know, as a Bal Kore in Kriyas HaTorah, is a really interesting issue. Okay, not for now. But, right, but in terms of his competence, you know, as a Talmud Chacham, right, he knew what he was saying. Right? The problem is that, you know, he's machshil, with all due sincerity, he's machshil kol olam kulo. Right? And that, of course, is intolerable. So the question is, how do we look? Go ahead, Tana Ba'osa Shah.
Gazru Tamad al Yorah Elam Kenatur Shos Miranda.
Yeah. So basically, that's where they came up with this takana. There were Gozer, the Tamad al Yorah Elam Kenatur Shos Miranda. So there are two ways of looking at this. Okay, one is that in the narrowest way, just like we were saying before, and that is that, you know, basically to be posek in Yoredeya, at least, you require a minimum. Again, that still does not mean that we're dealing with Mara Mokom and not Hora. It still doesn't mean that you don't have to be Gamir. You have to be a Gamir. Where you get that from, you know, maybe you don't need it from Rishus in a formal way, but it has to be known. There has to be ways of measuring that. But either way, the point is that the specific takana of Talmud al Yorah Elam Kein Noto Rishus Mirabo could be understood in a very narrow way, meaning it's to make sure that when we're letting you loose on the community, that you're not going to do more harm, you know, than good. that's a responsibility, and it's a very narrow takana, and you could, you know, limit it very much if you look at it that way. I still think you would have to explain, you know, how you know this guy's a gomir, you know, on the intellectual and competent side, which, you know, should not be dismissed. But it may have nothing to do with this requirement of Talmud al Yorah Limkein Nato Rishus Merab. My own inclination is not to see it that way. I think it would be very astonishing if that's all we really meant. But that what the Gemara is saying here is a kol shekein, meaning this is about it. I think there are two ways to explain it. One is that it means that you really require a formal licensing for all of Hora'ah. I don't know whether they have to go that far or not, but at minimum, that's what we'll discuss. But at minimum, what it means is that that the capacity, right, to inflict harm is not limited, you know, to the content or the incompetence of the hora itself, but applies even to the other trappings, right, of your persona and of your style. You know, I always like to joke a little bit that, you know, the yeshiva's very makpid and smicha program about, you know, they have, you know, homiletics and, you know, public speaking and, you know, all sorts of other courses. You know, sometimes, you know, it gets a little bit, you know, onerous, as I recall. You know, the basis of it is this Gemara, basically. But the idea that, you know, Talmud Ayora is only about that, I think, is extremely unlikely. It's also about that. First and foremost, you have to be somebody for a yeshiva or a rebbe to sanction somebody. Talmud Ayora, LMK, Natal Rishus Mirabo, you have to be convinced that that person is a gomir and that he has, you know, not only the intellectual part of that, but also the Yiras Shamayim, you know, it's a sense of responsibility, you know, that goes with it, an awareness of what he's doing, you know, of the line, you know, of the Masorah that he comes from, and of, you know, what his responsibility is to take it to the next generation, and so on. And in addition to that, you know, even the more peripheral trappings, like his, you know, bearing and his public speech, even that, kol shekein, everything else, is part of that. It's basically part of the achrayus, you know, of being, you know, ambassador of Torah and a posek. The halachic question here is more whether or not the specific requirement of Natilas Rishus Mirabo, you know, is a din in Rabo and Kvod Rabo, right? Or it really is the need for licensing. And here, as I say, we're going to get to it in just, you know, starting on Thursday, the Rambam does take a very strong Kvod Rabo stand, but I think it's all very, very fascinating that in the end of the day, while the Rambam develops this takana of Talmud al-Yorah as a Kvod Rabo stance, it implies that in some cases you could do without it if you didn't have a Kvod Rabo issue or problem. Now, it's not so much that you need the licensing on one level, as many poskim felt against the Rambam you do, but the Rambam perhaps doesn't, but that it's a Kvod Rabo, very specifically a Kvod Rabo issue. But it's very fascinating that at the same time, this is the Yora Yora, right, that the Gemara writes about on Heyomid Aleph, and that the Rambam totally paskins in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Sanhedrin. So the idea that, you know, Hora'ah is nitfas b'chalos smicha, and that there is an aspect, you know, even in the in Yora Yora of Smicha, even according to the Rambam, is something which I think is undeniable. Again, Moshel Amad Avardome, where we found, which is consistent in the Rambam, we talked about Ksamim, right, and the Darim, and the fact that the Rambam takes the view that even a non-Samuch could paskin in those areas, right? But it's also clear, based on the Yerushalmi, based on the Yerushalmi upon which the Rambam himself is based, and reiterated by the Rambam in Perek Dalet of the Sanhedrin, that Ksamim and Adarim is Nitfas B'smicha. That is, a full smicha includes also Yatir B'choros and Ksamim and Adarim. So similarly, according to the Rambam, the words Yore Yore still mean Perek Dalet of the Sanhedrin, the idea of being a samoch, even though in theory there could be some either mar mokom or maybe something in between psak without it, according to the Gemara, if there was no violation of kvod rabo, but it's still nitvas in, and the words yore yore still mean the context of smicha. Again, the Rambam, interestingly enough, doesn't even mention the gzera of Talmud al yore in Perek Dalet of El Sanhedrin. He basically doesn't mention that concept in all of Hilchos Sanhedrin. Although he has Bifnei Rabo, and we'll talk about that. Okay, so I think that's a very, very critical perspective that is sometimes has eluded people. Okay, let's continue. Atam kum brei d'rav ami.
Atam kum brei d'rav ami.
Ikla.
Lachatar. Darash lehu. Mutter lil tos chidim v'pasach.
Yeah.
Amrlo lav Rebbe mani demin sur.
Ikahacha? Meaning, who are you to, you know, hang up your shingle and bang on the bima and you know and announce or pronounce this psak? Then we have right.
Vitanya tamla yor alacha makom rabo elam kain haya rachuk mimenu shalosh parsaus kneged machane Israel. Amrlo lavadatai.
Right. So he didn't say I don't care. Right, he said, "Lava datoy." Oh, sorry, I didn't know. Now, the interesting question, of course, is what is the relationship between what we just read, which is Talmud al Yora, Elam Kein Notal Rishus Mei Rabo, and this halacha, which the Gemara transitions into? You could say there are two different dinim have nothing to do with each other. Now, the din of Talmud al Yora Bimkom Rabo, right? If you had to choose, like Talmud al Yora, Elam Kein Notal Rishus Mei Rabo, Talmud al Yora Bimkom Rabo. And I said to you, which one is more likely, you know, a more extraneous Kavod HaRav issue? And which one, you know, more a necessary, positive, prerequisite license, you know, to halachically practice? Clearly, the Bimkom Rabo is not a license to practice. That's clear. Again, it is clearly a Kavod Rabo issue. The only question is it also, in addition to Kavod Rabo, is it also a din in the, you know, in a potential better quality of psak, the idea that, you know, bypassing the etiquette, you know, reflects a certain insensitivity that could reflect on your psakim too. That's even in the Bimkom Rabo, there are, you know, this overlap of the etiquette issues, you know, into what their implications are, both in terms of this psak and in general your standing and judgment as a posek. And that's where we come to the Gemara that we mentioned earlier in the year, right, when we were talking about the Netziv and his view of Siyata Deshmaya in Smicha. So we mentioned then the Gemara in Ksuvas, which we'll read. You know, Talmud, you know, Lav Mishum, Talmud Yore El Rabim Komrabo, Lav Mishum Af Gerusa, right, El Mishum Delo Estayale Milsa. So again, I think there are two ways to read that Gemara. Right, the Gemara says it's not because of Chutzpah, it's because of Siyata Deshmaya. So one way, the narrower way, again, to look at it is, it's not because of chutzpah, but, you know, there is a kind of like an onesh, or at least, you know, a schar of siyata d'shmaya, you know, that you're going to be lacking. Okay. I think more likely it means even more than that, and that is, you know, the implication that your posture towards, you know, respect, you know, of bimkom rabo or whatever is something which has to do with, you know, your siyata d'shmaya. Moreover, you know, in looking for the best or rightest psak, most maximalist psak, there's an element of that. But certainly, if you had to compare Bimkom Rabo, which has these echoes, which we'll discuss, and Elam Kein Noto Rishus Mi Rabo, it's much easier to say that Noto Rishus Mi Rabo is also about a need for licensing, not just about exercising kavod when there is a Rebbe. Even if you say that it only applies when there is a Rebbe, you might say that. So it's just interesting that the Gemara juxtaposes, or at least, you know, transitions, maybe not juxtaposes, one to the other. Are they saying these belong together? There's a similarity? Or they're totally different, totally divergent. And also we'll see in the Gemara Ne'ervin whether they are connected and whether the dinim are connected. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Rabkia Chazia. Lahu Gavra.
Habakkuk Besekvaros. Habakkuk Besekvaros. Amarle, Lav Ben Inish Ploni Kohenata. Amarle, In. Ella, Vuda, Higavra, Gava, Enaim, Havav, and Havanasan, Enam, Begrusha, Bechalam.
Ooh. Sad story, right? Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Then this work finally concludes.
Yeah.
Pshita Lapalga.
Lapalga, Hakahamar, Demahani. Demahani, Altanai.
No, Demahani. Right, meaning, if you want to restrict him, and we discussed this already, right, for the various things, what does that mean? You could.
Altanai mai. Tashma, the Amalei Rabbi Yochanan,
Lerab Shaman, right?
Hariata b'rishusenu atchatova
etzmeinu. Yeah. So that's fascinating in a way, because limiting him in Mikitsoa, you know, is understandable. It could be because he's too good, because he's not good enough, because you want to be b'chalei kakavo to someone else, or you want to, you know, divvy it up, or you want, you know, more specialization. There could be all sorts of reasons. What's the point of the Ariat Tabr Shusenu Ajatavu Atzleinu? So it could be the same thing, but more likely it's more about, again, you know, a maximum, you know, it's an acknowledgement that sometimes you're the best person to do this. And, you know, that doesn't mean all poskim are equal. So, you know, when there are better people than you, then you have to give way. Either way, the Rambam, of course, paskins, even though this Gemara is about the Tilas Hashus Mareish Galusa Min Anasi, as we noted, the Rambam applies these to the din of Smicha, and we'll discuss whether or not this same idea could apply to, you know, to Talmud Al Yora, Elam Kain, and Natal Rishus. Could that also be Lizman, right, or not? If it could, then it's a further indication, you know, again, if we're patterning the dinim, that it isn't just happened to be in the Gemara and it's some sort of peripheral Hilchos Talmud Torah issue with nothing. It's also a Hilchos Talmud Torah issue, or according to other Rishonim, maybe it's not a Hilchos Talmud Torah issue at all, but it also, as I say, is a chalos smicha, or in other words, modern echo of smicha, equivalent to. Okay, so that's the that brings us up to in terms of the Gemara. The next piece, as you know, we did. That brings us up into the Gemara until Eisvir Bshim Ben Gamliel Hadin Bishlosha Bshar Bishnayim, right? Because the other piece was the Enyodam piece. So okay, so we want to do this. What we wanted to try to do on starting Thursday, you know, we're going to finish today like we always do, exactly 2:30, and starting Thursday, we're going to analyze the different shitos on first Elim Kein Natal Rishus Mirabo, some of the issues that we raised today, but I want to go inside a little bit, and together with it, Bifne Rabo. Those are the next two interrelated topics. And again, keep an eye on Roy Lahoros, because I want to do that also very quickly. And then after that, we'll turn our attention to matters of Pshar. Were there any questions? Okay. This one thing I want to. Yeah, and I'll try again. Last semester I was just having a crazy busy time, but maybe already starting Thursday we'll start, you know, meetings, and you know, whoever wants to get together. And also we'll see when Robbie comes back. I think there was some talk about a shir Shabbaton, you know, later in the zman. So
make it annual.
Right, we did last time. Right. What?
It's going to become an annual thing soon.
If it's a good thing, we'll try to do it.
It's a great
yeah,
thing.
I know, we enjoy it. So we'll see what we can start working on in terms of. Okay.